This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Lynn, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm joined in the studio by
Majida Hashim,
Christine Wong,
Arvind Yuvraj.
We are going to be with you all the way through until 1 p.m. this afternoon, just over your lunch break. We're going to try and give you some stories that will not put you off your lunch. However, that being said, we're starting off with a story about clowns.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. So for any of you that have a little bit of a fear or a phobia of clowns, maybe just turn down your radio for about the next 3 minutes.
I would. But I'm in the studio and I can't.
Yeah, you have no choice. You are in here with us.
This is torture for you.
I'll power through it.
Yeah. So what's happening is that with the new movie, It is showing now.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is because of the new movie, a lot of clowns are losing jobs because of people who are terrified of clowns. There's a phobia called Cholerophobia, which is the fear of clowns. This is basically sort of spiked among kids and even adults because of this new movie that's coming out.
Even the Christines of the world.
So THR actually picked up this story, the Hollywood Reporter. So they're saying that a number of professional clowns are losing gigs because of fear of clowns, because of the shape-shifting clown known as Pennywise in the movie. Because he, and this is the creepy thing about this It movie. In the movie itself, Pennywise comes out once every 27 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and the last movie came out in 1990, which was 27 years ago.
Yep.
So people are freaking out. They're going to see this. They're sort of like renewing their fear of clowns and stuff. So what has happened is the World Clown Association, there's an actual World Clown Association. Ooh. The president of that association, the name is Pam Moody.
She must have a clown name, surely.
Yeah.
That's her clown name.
But the fact that her name is
Pam Moody. Come on now, guys.
Yeah. She said that this recent spike or this surge in cholerophobia, and last year's there was like this evil clown pranking thing.
There were so many last year.
Mm. So they're all like going around like scaring people. It all began with Stephen King's It, or his creation. She says that it all started with the original It that introduced the concept of this character. It's a science fiction character. It's not an actual clown and has nothing to do with pro clowning.
Pro clowning.
Yeah,
Majida. Pro clowning.
Pro clowning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then recently, in recent months, she said that people had school shows and library shows that were cancelled, and that's very unfortunate. The very public that they are trying to deliver positive and important messages to aren't getting them because of this movie that just came out.
I think, just to very quickly jump in here. I think that people who have a fear of clowns, chlorophobia or whatever it is, will already have a fear of clowns regardless of whether or not they've seen the movie or not, right? So does it really make a difference? This is just more marketing stuff. Do you think Steven's made enough money already?
I don't think he has any problems paying his bills and stuff.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. No, but the WCA, the World Clown Association, they're actually saying that the blame should be solely on Stephen King because he started it, not with this movie, but the one that
the
came out.
The original one.
The original one.
And the book as well that's based on.
Yeah, and the book as well. So he sort of like started this whole insane clown thing and sort of turned people.
Were you making insane clown posse jokes then? Is what you were about?
It wasn't deliberate, but why not?
I'll
assume that you did it on purpose, and we'll give you an extra kudos for that one.
Yeah. I actually looked this up because they were blaming the King and his stuff. So I looked it up, and there was actually. It didn't actually start after 1990. Like in 1981, so a full 10 years before the movie came out, there were reports of people dressing up as clowns and going to schools and disturbing the kids there in Boston.
Wow.
Yeah, and then later that spring in Kansas City, kids reported being chased down by clowns, and sightings have even popped up in the news ever since the 1980s. So you have to wonder, like, did Stephen King do it himself, or did he pick up on the whole clown terrorizing thing and then make the book?
Wow. Okay. Christine, you're very quiet. What's going on? Are you okay?
We're not all good. Let's not do that, shall we?
I mean, they even have like a memorandum kind of thing. They came out with a WCA stand on scary clowns. So they're basically saying that if you go to like a haunted house and then you see like a surgeon or doctor come out with like a chainsaw that's not an actual doctor, the same way that it or Pennywise is not an actual clown. So she says you should know how to tell the difference and mm-hmm. don't see all clowns as equal because they're not all Pennywise.
Oh my word!
Okay,
I like that. But we thought what we would do then is if you want to tweet us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had an idea. Go on, tell me.
Yeah. So you know, you should tweet us if you are afraid of clowns, if you have seen it the movie, and if you are a clown yourself, because clowning, like she says, pro clowning. I mean, we joke, but it's actually a very it's a tough job.
And they make a lot of money. Yeah,
and they make a lot of money. So if you are a clown, if you are a professional clown, or if you are terrified of clowns, send us a tweet at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Just to clarify, the telephone lines are closed, but you can WhatsApp us mm-hmm. or you can tweet us.
Yep.
Right, moving on to, I want to say happier story, but it's a story, this is really interesting because I'm one of these, in fact, my family are one of these families that recycle everything. You know, you never throw anything away. If you can repair it yourself, you do that before you buy something new.
Mm-hmm.
So Majida pointed this story out for me this morning. It's about a thermoelectric generator that converts heat from a chimney or a camp stove into electricity for charging USB devices. Right, so small-scale electricity production can be a bit of a game-changer for off-grid communities or emergency preparedness. And this is particularly important now if you're looking at what's happening in the U.S. right now with a bunch of the hurricanes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an idea where you can produce your own electricity using a thermoelectric generator that runs on waste heat that would normally just fly up the chimney and escape. So it's this thing called the Fire Bee Power Tower.
Wow.
And you can make use of some of the heat produced for cooking food or warming a home to yield an additional harvest of clean electricity. So it's this new device designed by a company from Seattle called Hydrobee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed to generate electricity from the heat already being produced by a camping stove, a propane stove, or in the chimney of a wood stove or fireplace. So essentially what it is, you have this device that once you've started the heat coming up, it warms up these fins inside,
mm-hmm.
and then it changes the heat from those fins into electricity. And you can then use it to charge your USB devices, ooh. Your power banks, mm-hmm. or your phone. And at the same time as those fins are getting warm and converting it into electricity,
mm-hmm.
it's actually warming up water as well. So you can put in a little bowl of water.
A kettle on top, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
So it's like a two-in-one thing.
It's a two-in-one
thing. It's a three-in-one
thing. Three-in-one thing, yeah. I mean, there's no price. Oh, $159
mm-hmm.
is how much it costs right now. Over at Hydrobee, really interesting stuff. You can use it to power torches and all kinds of stuff. It's very small. You can carry it around with you.
It's like the perfect camping tool, right?
Yeah,
you go out there, you can charge your phone if you get a signal out there.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait, so it's more like a dynamo mechanism, kind of?
Using momentum.
Propellers.
Yeah, the propellers.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. It's a great idea. I really like it.
Yeah.
Right, so we should probably just remind people that we have a tweet already. Is it regarding the clowns? Let's have a look. No, it's not. I was just so looking forward to talking about clowns a little bit more, Christine.
Someone out there, please tell me that I'm not alone. I know it's an irrational fear, and I know that not all clowns are bad people, but it just freaks me out.
It's the makeup, right?
It's
and the fact that you can't see the face.
Yes. Halloween is around the corner, I will anticipate a lot of these kind of clowns mm-hmm. coming up. Yeah. There's business for the clowns after all.
Okay, well.
You know, since you want to talk about clowns,
yeah.
what I can do is, at the start of every segment when we come back,
yeah.
I'll give you a trivia about clowns, like a short
that works.
Fact about clowns.
Yeah. And can you then back it up with a really bad joke?
I'll try.
All right.
I'll just honk my red nose. Like,
oh, gosh. This is turning into a living nightmare.
All right. We are going to take a very short break. We've got some big data up next with a track called Snowed In. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Majida Hashim,
Christine Wong,
Arvind Yuvaraj, and I've got a clown fact.
Go on then.
So the word clown is believed to come from the Icelandic word clúni, meaning a clumsy person.
Oh, George will probably argue about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
George Clumsy. Sounds way better. Yeah, he'd make much better movies.
Yeah, sounds like a children's character book or something
right,
like that.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And just a quick reminder, phone lines, in fact, are closed right now, folks. So telephone number ending 8747, it's in your best interest to stop calling for a little while. The phone lines won't be open until later on today. But if you want to send a WhatsApp message, 018-789-8899. If you want to tweet us pictures of clowns, or if you want to tell us some clown facts, or if you're scared of clowns, Christine is making the most horrendous face
right now. Oh, do send pictures
right
of clowns. Yeah. If you are a clown, send us pictures of you.
Yeah.
Right. Great. Okay, then. So let's move on. Majida, I know you have a story regarding Mr. Richard Branson.
Yeah. So Hurricane Irma is right now causing havoc all over the Caribbean, and now it's in the U.S. It's really, really bad. At one point, the hurricane is so strong in the Caribbean itself that it was classified as a Category 5, breaking the record for the most powerful storm that has ever been detected in the open Atlantic.
Wow.
While people are advised to evacuate areas that might be affected, some people have decided that they are going to weather through it.
She's in on the game now. Mm-hmm. Vegeta is now making puns.
You can never escape.
We've made progress.
That was good. That was good.
So one person who have been quite vocal about the hurricane and wants to stick it through is Richard Branson. He's known as a daredevil. He tries to this kind of things. Mm-hmm. So he decided he wants to take it out, and so he stayed back in on his private island at Necker Island in the British Virgin Isles. And this is not the first time he's decided to stick it out during a major hurricane. This is the third time he's doing it in the last 30 years. So he's quite used to this thrilling, I'm going to stay throughout the storm. And he's got his Virgin group team. And they're all
be careful
over
how you phrase this.
Yeah, I know. And they're all over there sticking it out. So he's kept the block since the 5th of September. He's blocked and tweeted about his preparations, talking about his bunker and how he's installed hurricane blinds. He's been blogging about how the team has been calm and upbeat before the storm, and they've been playing games, watching wildlife, and they're just having a nice old big sleepover.
Oh, the life of a billionaire on private island,
he's
right?
He's actually been tweeting it. There's a tweet photo of them all cuddled together on bunker beds on with comforters and all is like waiting for the hurricane now.
Right. But I mean, he has tweeted some, you know, it's okay him tweeting, you know, we're having a nice time in the bunk beds and we're having a sleepover. But he's been quite serious in some of his other tweets as well, hasn't
yeah,
he?
That's yeah, that's right. So after the storm has blown over at on the British Virgin Isles, he's come out and he's already in ground zero. He's been tweeting about the damage that has been done, the rescue efforts. He's partnered immediately with the British Red Cross in providing relief. And he's there distributing aids and supporting people on the ground. Mm. At the same time, he's sending awareness to everyone else about the damage that climate change has come upon at the at where he is. And he has the means, like you said. Communications is obviously down, but he's talking to everyone and blogging via a satellite phone. Mm. So he has the means and he's there and he's
helping
spreading
others
out the brand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. First of all, it's obviously great that like he has the resources to be able to keep him and his team safe, and that's really good. And I just, where I'm at with this is that, like, there is a little cynical part of me that is a bit like, is it right to make such light, like, you know, such a light kind of, like, a light story about something that is affecting so many people and that is, you know, a force of destruction? And, you know, there are so many people out there who, you know, don't have a private island and can't just huddle up in a bunker, you know, and just play games and stuff in a cellar, right? But on the other hand, like, I think that it's good, you know, that a lot of people have been talking about Hurricane Irma, that a lot of people, like, regardless of all the lightheartedness or anything like that, that he is taking the time out to also express the seriousness of the situation.
Right.
And there are a lot of celebrities that are either, you know, showing support for people who are affected by Hurricane Irma. I know that Kristen Bell, who I think most people might know her as one of the main voice actors for Frozen. She's actually currently in Florida. She was there filming a movie. But she's actually, you know, helping out with, you know, relief things and trying to bring some cheer a bit. So this is one of those things where the cynical part of me is a bit like, oh, marketing. And the not so cynical part of me is just happy that people are safe, as safe as they can be, and that they're talking about it and trying to, you know, bring attention to the fact that this is such a big deal.
Yeah. No, I'm with Christine, because the first part about him like tweeting and being in his house, it's not, I mean, it's fine for him because he's in like this huge mansion and he has like walls that are thick enough to weather any kind of storm. It's not, I wouldn't say it's exactly brave of him to stay there because he knows nothing's going to happen to his islands and he has like a bunch of houses to move into if anything happens to house A or house B, right? Mm. But then, I mean, going down to ground zero and helping out and, you know, using his resources is fine, but it's just about using that, using like an actual disaster as publicity and to get a hashtag out. A lot of people won't be able to do that. A lot of people have houses in the path of the hurricane, and they're going to lose property and they're going to suffer basically because of this. So I don't know how nice it is to actually show off. It kind of shows like it's a bit show offy to, you know, snuggle up in bed, or you know, you're weathering the storm and stuff. It's a bit, it's tacky.
Would we think that the same if he wasn't a billionaire with his own private island?
I mean, he would. I don't think he'd be snuggling up if he didn't have his private island. He'd be like at home, and he'd be like afraid of his roof getting, you know, his house losing a roof, and he'd just
be
going off in the storm.
Like he
wouldn't be tweeting.
He wouldn't be tweeting. Yeah. It's the celebrities who are able to you know, sit down in their homes and tweet because they have that kind of comfort, no?
Right.
To be fair, all the tweets that he has put up since about the devastation has had a link back to his fundraising page or to the British Red Cross itself. Mm-hmm. So he is there, able to take photos and upload them where nobody else could reach there because of communications breakdown.
Right.
And he has 11 million followers on Twitter, and it's reaching to all of them. And these are some of the earliest photos from Ground Zero itself.
That was going to be my point as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, despite the fact that we might be, like you say, Christine, a little bit cynical, the fact that he's able to get images out of Ground Zero, I think, is quite important. Mm. Right. Any more clown facts before we go into a break, or do you want to wait until we come back before you...
No, I have a clown around. Yeah, hey. I have a clown fact. Clowns are nicknamed Joeys after the early 19th century pantomime star Joseph Grimaldi.
Really?
Yeah, so because his name was Joseph, so they just call clowns Joeys.
All right, I never knew that. Right, time for some music. It is the Goo Goo Dolls, Arvin's request. Mm-hmm. Big machine for you.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a very short break. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. We have another half an hour or so before we wrap up the show. A few more stories yet to go. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Arvin Yuvaraj,
Christine Wong,
and Majida Hashim.
As Arvin promised at the beginning of the show, every time we come back, he will present us with a clown fact.
Yeah, so everyone watched The Simpsons here?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Krusty the Clown?
Yes.
Yeah. So his full name is Herschel Schmeichel Pinchas Yerkam Krustowski.
Okay,
wow.
Then.
That's why he's called Krusty.
That's why he's called
one
Krusty.
One of the few clowns I'm not scared of. So there you go. There you go. Thank you for that one.
Okay, we had a little bit of a story earlier on about Richard Branson on his private island of Necker and how he's kind of hunkered down as Irma swept through. Now, Majida, you have a story now about what Tesla...
Christine.
Christine, you have a story about what Tesla have done to help people who were in Florida at the time, right?
Yes. So... basically, Tesla has this thing where the Model S and Model X vehicles that they create are all built with a 7 kilowatt-hour battery. But when these cars were first sold, Tesla gave customers the option of a lower capacity battery at a more affordable price. So instead of using the entire 75 kilowatt-hour battery, it's 60 kilowatt-hours of battery capacity. And so a lot of people decided to use the cheaper, less kind of powerful battery instead of, you know. But
with the option to upgrade should they need to a little bit later on.
Yes, because this is the interesting thing. Downsizing doesn't mean replacing the big battery with a physical smaller one. It actually, what Tesla did was they used a bit of computer code to restrict how much of the battery car could access.
Right.
So it's the same battery throughout all the models. They just kind of gave you the option to kind of restrict the amount of power that you could use. However, over the weekend, Tesla began pushing a software update that increased the battery capacity of some Model S sedans and Model X SUVs. All the cars that received the update belonged to those living in what emergency officials had identified as the evacuation area. And the real-time update extended the range of the cars by unlocking that extra, like, 15 kilowatt, battery power, meaning that the vehicles could now go farther on a single charge. However, the change will not be permanent. Tesla has said that the temporary upgrade will be reversed on September the 16th, presumably once the immediate danger has passed. And this is the interesting thing about it. In order to, because as you've mentioned, Rich, as well, you can actually pay to upgrade, you know, and to unlock essentially the full power of the battery. But it costs like tens of thousands of dollars. It's really expensive upgrade.
Is it?
Very, it's hideously expensive. But over the weekend, obviously, Tesla lifted that at no cost to customers after receiving requests for help from customers whose cars were stuck in Irma-related traffic. And the other thing about this is that you don't, like, when you think about cars as a piece of technology, you don't think about it as something where you have to unlock upgrades, right? Like, this is the thing. With a lot of services nowadays, you can unlock kind of premium services. I mean, Spotify Premium for one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. You can, and there's a part of the thing where you will get extra capabilities if you pay more. Cars don't really do that. And Tesla is one of the first, you know, companies to actually use software to instantly add range to a vehicle. I mean, like, for example, you can't just, you know, make a gas tank bigger like this, right? You can't just click a button and suddenly you can go faster or you can... But Tesla is doing this, right? And it's not even the first time that that Tesla has used wireless software updates to expand a car's capabilities. I mean, it forces us to think, I think, very differently about what it means to truly own our own vehicle. Because this is the other thing. I really admire Tesla for doing that. And I really appreciate that they, you know, they did that at no cost and they unlocked it and they allowed a lot of people to be able to move outside of the dangerous area. But when you think about it, it suddenly makes you realize how much power Tesla has, because they can just remotely control your car like that.
Yeah.
Right? So it's this massive paradigm shift, because when you buy any other car, you get its full capabilities. And once you buy the car, it's yours. You are under control of the car but now that we know, you know, now that it's been made so clear that Tesla still has an quite a lot of control over its technology, even when it's yours, it forces you to think a little bit more about, you know, but how much, to what extent does this, you know, does this reach?
Yeah, I mean, it brings up a whole bunch of issues, you know, privacy for one, you know, they can actually access your car at any time and any place. But I think if we look at the bigger picture of what they've done to help people get out of the danger zone, I love the idea of that. But this whole idea of, do you actually own that car outright from day one? Yeah, it changes the way we think about things, right? But I suppose if you've bought that car and you've decided that you don't need that full battery, and you've paid that fee, then you would only ever assume that that's all you're ever getting, I suppose, you know?
I don't know. I kind of like the idea, because it's like, just like you compared it with Spotify. So imagine, like, if I needed to buy Spotify, if I would be able to buy the free edition, and then later when I was able to
afford
the premium edition, then I would just subscribe for all the premium perks and benefits and stuff. So if you look at a car, then if I bought the car at first and I couldn't afford like the full blown premium, everything is open model, I could buy the car first, and then when I can afford it, I just get Tesla to upgrade it for me. So I still own the car and I still get all the benefits of having like whatever they're putting into the car. It's just that I don't get the premium specs.
Right. Yeah. You get all the advertisements.
I get everything in the ads. But like now, if I bought a car and then I'm stuck with that car, and if I wanted something more, like just say they came out with a better model or something, then I would have to change the car entirely.
Send it for an upgrade and that, yeah,
that,
yeah. Right?
Yeah. That actually has just hit something in my head.
Mm.
The whole idea of like the premium version or what, when we're moving forward and we're talking very much so about, you know, self-driving cars, electric cars, one thing or another. Mercedes have just announced that they're going to be all electric by 2030. Volkswagen as well, a whole bunch of these companies. But once you have that position where you are in a self-driving vehicle, we are at the behest of advertisers. Mm-hmm. We will be at the behest of advertisers. You know, we will have no choice in that, because we have nothing else to do apart from read books and listen to music and one thing or another. You're right, Arvin. You know, you are going to get like the non-premium version of Spotify in those self-driving vehicles unless you subscribe to a premium option.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's through those ads. I mean, we kind of are already.
Yeah.
It's just like different mediums. This just gives them like a better platform, I guess, and more of our time to access us.
There's this issue of how intrusive this technology is to us also, because they can like what's happening over here, they can unlock everything without notifying the owners.
Yeah.
And so, like you were saying, Richard, a lot of cars are going electronics. A lot of the cars right now already have an electronic dashboard. Mm-hmm. And as they go, and as more electric cars roll out and self-driving cars, who knows, somebody remotely can take over control of your car.
It's happened already, yeah. Hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Tesla itself has actually been able to remote. They've proven that they can remotely install new software, including code that enables and disables features unilaterally, which is terrifying. Like, I mean, it's really interesting, but like at the same time, you know, like you've mentioned as well, you think about the way that, you know, technology is becoming so integrated into cars and self-driving cars as well.
Yeah.
You know, it opens up so many avenues, and there is a whole community, you know, of kind of amateur hackers that poke around inside their cars and kind of, you know, and kind of make fascinating things. But those are kind of, you know, that's outside. This is the company itself having that amount of control over their product.
But then again, there are also people who will sign up for security options on certain cars in the US in particular. You know, if your car has been stolen, for example, you push a button inside your car and it immediately locks your car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, for stuff like... I'd like to know that if I bought a Tesla car, for example, and it was stolen, I could push a button on my remote or whatever, and immediately my car
and
is
it drives
disabled.
Back to me.
That would be better. Yeah. Ideal. So, yeah, you're right. There's pros and cons, and it's an argument that's going to be going on for a long time, I assume.
Yeah. Like on Reddit as well, the debate has completely taken off. Everyone is fighting in the comments and stuff like that. But it's a really interesting debate, I think, and there's a lot more to this.
Mm.
It's just that in the wake of you know, this natural disaster, now that they've kind of not revealed exactly, but now that they've kind of shown, you know, their capabilities, it's just something that is interesting to think about.
Absolutely. Mm. Right, time for a short break. We've got some more music coming up now from the Stereophonics from Just Looking. Arvin,
mm-hmm.
do you have anything for us?
There's the declaration of the International Clown Week was passed into U.S. law by President Richard Nixon on August 2nd, 1971.
Tricky dicky.
That's, That's a fact.
It's a fact. All right, some music then. It is the Stereophonics with Just Looking. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to BizBytes here on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by Ringmaster Arvin Yuvaraj, Christian Wong over here, and Majida Hashim. Now, final story of the day, and it's a bit... I wanted to push this out because it's space tourism firm launches the largest rocket to blast off from the UK mainland.
Yay! Space!
Wow. It's called Skybolt 2, successfully launched from the back of a truck in Northumberland, carrying a science project, cameras, and... a stuffed toy.
Aww.
Oh, nice.
It's so English. Right. So it's the largest rocket to blast off from the British mainland. They've launched from Northumberland for a test flight, fueling hopes that it could pave the way for commercial flights into space, built and privately funded by the Manchester-based firm Star Chaser. The Skybolt 2 successfully fired into the sky from the back of a converted flatbed truck. A village called Otterburn. It's 8.2 meters long, 27 feet. It then broke into three pieces and returned to Earth. They're very pleased with the launch. It's been helped out by... originally, there was a science project on board from Sheffield Hallam University, commercial cargo, a number of video cameras, and a stuffed toy called Sam. Aww. Anyway...
Sam.
What is Sam?
Sam is a stuffed dog.
Okay.
Why did they send a stuffed toy into space?
To make sure he returns safely. Clearly, obviously.
Okay.
I have no idea, actually. I just made that up. But, you know. But they did start the space tourism firm 25 years ago, and they've built some big rockets. They played around a little bit. They didn't have really much success with them, but now they're doing pretty well. And it's all been sponsored by the University of Chester, where Nick, one of the project leads, is the Pro Vice Chancellor of Research. Really happy about this. It's enough to kind of move them forward. They're now touring this rocket around schools as part of an educational outreach program, and they are shooting for the stars with their next project called the Nova 2. It's a 12-meter rocket big enough to carry a person and is intended to launch within the next 18 months.
Nice.
There we go. I'm quite happy about that.
That's a year and a half. That's pretty soon. Yeah.
Not too far away at all.
Good.
Right, it's almost time for us to wrap up then. We have a couple of tweets, none of them unfortunately related to clown facts, but Arvin, I'm sure you've got a few in your big pockets, mm-hmm. do you?
I'll give you two.
Go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Two
you're pulling okay. them out. You're just pulling them out like handkerchiefs or something.
No reference there at all. Yeah. The first killer clown in fiction appeared in...
Thank you for clarifying. Yes.
He went straight for the killer clowns.
Straight for the killer clowns. It appeared in an Italian opera, Pagliacci, in 1892. Mm. And then the last one, Ronald McDonald was first played by an actor named Willard Scott in 1963 in a TV commercial.
By the way, if you guys have not seen the original Ronald McDonald, look him up. Terrifying.
He is pretty terrifying.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why I've seen the original Ronald McDonald.
You've been Googling for odd scary characters. Exposure therapy.
I'm trying really hard, Rich.
Okay, it is time for us to wrap up, but we'll quickly go through some of the stories that we covered today. We did, of course, start off with...
clowns losing their jobs because of the new movie It.
We then did a story about the Tower of Power, or rather, what's it called? They've launched, Firebee. It's a power tower that turns any heat source into an electric generator.
And then we spoke about how Richard Branson stayed back on his island when Hurricane Irma hit, and now he's there tweeting and helping others on the island.
And then we talked about how Tesla wirelessly upgraded owner's batteries to help flee Irma.
Good or not? Good or not? That's the debate that's currently raging on Reddit.
Yep.
I'm alliterating as well.
Good job.
Now then, final story, of course, was about space tourism and how a little firm in the UK seems to be doing pretty well. But don't go anywhere. We do have the Breakfast Grill replay coming up after the break, of course.
Today, Harish Kubchandani was on the show this morning. He is the CEO of iProperty.com, Australian-listed online property portal. REA Group's acquisition of iProperty Group as its Asian arm is struggling amidst weak market sentiments in the Asian property market. So iProperty CEO Harish Kubchandani spoke about the group's market outlook and challenges they currently face in this region. That's coming up after the news at 1 o'clock.
No clowning around. Right. Sorry about that. It's time for some music. It's time for us to say goodbye. We have a little bit of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. It is Sacrilege. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow from Deepest Darkest Band at Atama. It has been Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the Business Station.